الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. طيب, before I begin my topic, I'll tell you what my topic is. My topic is about how to establish a healthy family dynamics. I'm going to talk about family dynamics. It's a sensitive topic, and forgive me if I push some red buttons, but this is how we learn, inshallah. But before I talk about that topic, I'd like every sister who is married and every man who is married here, can you please send a lovely text to your wife and husband, please? Can you just tell them, I'll tell you what to do. Just send them something, one thing that you appreciate about your husband. And brothers, send one thing that you appreciate. No, brothers, you have to send three. Three things that you appreciate. That's the nature. Brothers, they don't need too many compliments. Sisters, for everyone, they need three. That's how Allah created them. So just please, send them one thing you appreciate about them. And those who are single, just send something you appreciate about yourself. Lift your self-esteem, that you still got hope, inshallah. Or maybe the single people can send it to their mum. Say, mum, dad, can you tell me one thing you appreciate about me? Or maybe even say something about your mum and dad. You know what, brothers who are single, send something if you have a sister. Send her something that you appreciate about her. A sister, send something to your brother you appreciate about him. Come on, break the barrier. Build the bridges, inshallah. Healthy dynamics of a family. Well, I was just talking to a young Akhi Ayman's little son and daughter just at the back. They're so cute. So they came into my room and I said, what do you love about your brother? No, first I asked the boy, what do you love about your little sister? And he said immediately, she's kind. So then I asked her, what do you love about him? And then she said, he said, she always leaves something for me. When she eats, she thinks about me, she leaves me something. She's always thinking about her brother. And I go, what do you love about him? And she said, he's kind to me. And subhanAllah, that was such a lovely, beautiful thing that I heard, that I wish in our families we can continue to do that. In fact, you know what, brothers and sisters, if you're a father and mother, I'd like you to get your children, if you've got little children or even teenagers, get them to write a nice sign or a nice calligraphy they're going to hang up on the wall in your house, in the lounge room. And that has to say, the hadith, you will not reach the level of paradise until you love for your brother or sister what you love for yourself. Put that up. Let your family household be about thinking about each other. You will not enter paradise until you love for your brother and sister what you love for yourself. Let your children grow up like that. Keep that in the front of their minds. I begin with a verse of the Quran which you are all familiar with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah At-Tahrim, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. Allah says, O you who have believed, save yourselves and your family from fire. A fire which is terrible, On it are guardians that are also harsh. They will not disobey their Lord with what he tells them to do, and they do as they have been commanded. The first part of this verse, O you who have believed, save yourselves. Then Allah says, your family. Before we think about the hereafter, let's think about our life here. If we don't have a healthy upbringing and a good, healthy relationship in our families, then we will create a worldly fire in our own homes. A fire mentally tormenting in our emotions, even physically, and in our relationships. That is a fire that is an introduction to another fire in the hereafter, wa'ayyadu billah. So Allah says to us, save yourself first. You cannot have a good family dynamics and a healthy relationship until you and me, first of all, think about our own actions, behavior, strengths and weaknesses, good and bad behaviors in ourselves. At the same time, you need to look after yourself. If you don't breathe, you can't help others to breathe. In the aeroplane, they always tell you, in the unlikely event of an accident or an emergency, oxygen masks will fall from above you. Place them on yourselves before attending to others. Because if you can't breathe, you can't help your children, you can't help others. So, in any relationship, you and I need to know yourself and what things you need to improve on, which means that you are ready to also accept advice. You are also ready to accept that you, when you make mistakes, you can apologize. You can admit it. And then you can work on fixing it. In fact, I will tell you, brothers and sisters, if you want to know the main secret key to where you must start in having a healthy relationship in your family and a loving, happy one, begin with this. You are a role model. Your children and even your spouse will not listen to lecturing from you, instructions and rules. 2% of the effect compared to the effect that you will have on them when you yourself are a good role model. Hands up if you have children. Ooh, mashallah, half the audience. Listen carefully, fathers and mothers. We complain that our children do not obey us, but they never fail to imitate us. Carve that into the front of your prefrontal cortex, right here. They will never fail to imitate us. If you're a father and you've watched your son who is 5, 6 years old and you take off your shoes this way from the back, your child will take off his shoes this way from the back, the same way, where you put them, where you place them. And then your children will look at how mum and dad talk to each other, how they look at each other, how they signal to each other, how they fight, and how they reconcile. They'll look at the tone of your voice, not what you say, but how you say it. You know, you probably have witnessed this. If you say something good and beneficial to your child, but you say it in a loud, disturbing voice, your child switches off. And what do they remember? They remember disturbing, harsh voice. And therefore, the attitude is disturbing and harsh. But if you can tell them something, even if it is hurtful, meaning, even if it's something they don't want to hear, and you say it in a calm, loving tone, they will learn from you kindness, and maybe they will learn from you what you said. I want you to do a little activity with me right now. I want you to turn to the person next to you and I want you to whisper anything. Come on. Just whisper. No, that's not whispering. That's not whispering. Like this. Hello, how are you? And tell me how that person responds. How did the person respond? Hands up if you whisper to the person next to you and the person next to you, for no given reason, also responded by whispering. Oh, you UK people, about half of you, mashallah. Have you ever been through that? You just whisper and there's no one around and then the other person goes, why are we whispering? Have you ever been, hands up if you've been in that situation. All of us. No one's around. You're in a room and you just go, hey, do you know what I heard the other day? And they go, yeah, what? And there's no one around. This reverse psychology, use it with your children. And have a house where most of the time there's calm interactions. You know, I've been teaching for about 20 years. And one of the strategies that we've learned from each other as teachers and colleagues, we always complain that our students are not behaving. They're always raising their voice. The teacher that says to the students, quiet and down. Stop talking. Guess what happens? The students raise their voice above his or hers. Then you raise your voice. What did I say? And the students go even higher. But the teachers who speak says, I will not raise my voice above this. The next person who is talking will miss out on the instructions and that will be on you. So then you repeat and you begin to write and begin to do the instructions. Suddenly the students' voices go down, quieter, 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 below your voice. But you have to be consistent. So, it is not the disagreement through which conflicts occur, but it is through the tone that you disagreed with. Do you remember that? Okay. And if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. Let's change our mindset and our approach. My brothers and sisters, the family unit, the home, the father, the mother, the children, is the secret to the overall success and health, righteous upbringing of our children. And by extension, the relationship with our extended families is also plays a huge role in the dynamics, the healthy relationship of our family. Not the school. Not the school. As teachers, a lot of the parents come and complain and try to pin it on the teacher and the school. Your pedagogy is not good. Your ethics are not good. The way you run your school. My child, I've had them. I'm paying big bucks and you're not, you know, teaching them. And we say, hold on. 60 to 70% of the child's behavior, mindset, mental health, and their upbringing is from the home. It's from the home. Until 13 or 14 years old, then your child looks a little bit outside and looks at friends and social media to learn. If you don't catch it from the beginning, they're going to learn it from somewhere else. My brothers and sisters, if you are a person, for example, who road rages, your child will also road rage. If you swear at people, your child will swear at people. If mum and dad fight, your children are going to fight. If you yell at your children are going to yell at each other. If everything in your marriage is about rights and obligations, not love and compassion and mercy, then you will have children who will grow up selfish and self-entitled. Let me talk to you about something. A religious family is a beautiful family. But unfortunately, some people take a religious mindset the wrong way. I see it day in, day out. How? When you get married, Allah says,
وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون.
Allah says, He created you for each other, and you are compatible for one another as humans, man and woman. And He made between you love and mercy. And in order that you may find tranquility together, in this are many signs for people who reflect. Mawadda, rahma, tranquility. Did you hear in the verse saying, and He made between you rights, responsibilities, and obligations? No. If you want a contract-like relationship where there are two people living in a room like a business partnership that is void of love and emotions between each other, then go ahead and talk about a religious lifestyle based on only rights and obligations. But if you want a family built on love, compassion, and mercy, then build a relationship based on giving up some of your rights from time to time and doing more than what your religious obligation says. If you want your children to learn that religion and faith means that they only use religious text when it suits them and only when it's about your own right, then you and your spouse display that role modeling to your children. But if you want a family that is built on giving, giving, loving, compassionate, and balanced, then teach them flexibility, giving and taking a little bit. When people build their homes on just, you know, boundaries, my right, your right, this verse Allah said this, in this hadith Allah says that, then you're building a family of rigidity, void of love and compassion. Yes, Allah told us boundaries, but we use them in times of conflict and in order to set a standard by which the family can fall back on, but otherwise build love and mercy. Don't make your family relationship sound like this. The husband comes up to his wife and he sounds like this. According to Article 5 of the Marriage Act, Item 2, Paragraph 2.2.2, my obligation is only to provide you with this or that. And then she responds, in that case, according to policy number 10, item 1.3, a wife is not obliged to serve her husband with this or that. Is that how you want your life to be? A civil rights case? Mawadda in the Quran means to give more than what you are Islamically obliged. To give up some of your rights, which is your right, but because you want to build the relationship. To have mercy, which means that somebody deserves to be punished, but you take it easy on them. You talk through it. You forgive. You pardon. You talk through it, and you talk about your disagreements. You can express your feelings. You can express your anger a little bit, but be careful and have a boundary in order to come out with a solution or at least an understanding later on. In Islam, for example, there's no such thing as a silent treatment. Everybody uses the hadith with me saying, you can't abandon your brother more than 3 days. Can you imagine a husband and wife, every time they're upset, they're abandoning each other for 3 days? That's 3/4 of your beautiful life gone. Silent treating each other brings the shaitan and teaches the children to also resort to just running away from their problems. No, you got to face them and you got to deal with them together, inshallah. My brothers and sisters, so that's the first key. The second key in a good family is to understand that this generation you're living in is different to the generation you lived in. You've got to understand that your children live in a very different world dynamics. Number one, you're going to understand the challenges that your children are going through. They are not the same as your own challenges. Three of the biggest challenges, forgive me if there's little kids here, but you know, I'll just say it in easier words, intimate relationships, between teenagers and young adults. They go about it the wrong way. On social media, someone contacts them and suddenly they've got a relationship. Next minute, your daughter comes up to you, or maybe she's not, and she's going through a mental breakdown and a heartbreak. This person promised me this and he told me he's going to marry me and everything, and I've shared information with them and probably even pictures and things like that, and now they dump me. You know, these are relationship problems that they have. Social media issues, peer pressure. Your children are not the same as what we were brought up in. How do you do that? Establish a relationship with them from an early age and let your teenager know that you will not judge them if they talk to you. Involve yourself in their hobbies. Involve yourself in their interests. Let them know that you will not judge them on everything. And how do you do that? Let them know that in our family, alhamdulillah, there's room like a bubble that we can talk to each other without judging one another. And you should role model that as a parent. Tell your child, I'll even, you know, if there's something I need to talk about you, we'll make a bubble between each other and I'll talk without you judging me. And if you've done a mistake, show your children how you can apologize to them and say, you know, I make mistakes myself. Instead of always rules, instructions, obey, Allah will curse you if you don't listen to me, I'll make dua against you, the anger of your mum and dad. Ditch all that. They're teenagers, they're learning. Have mercy with them. Let them grow up with that role model. Remember, they're learning from your behavior. Children, take it easy on your parents. They're going through a hard time. It's very hard to work and provide you and everything. And then you say to them, it's your duty to provide me. I didn't ask you to bring me into this world. Haram. Subhanallah. Have a space where you can talk. Involve yourself with their sporting. Play with them games. Yes, make consequences, but then get together and talk about it together, inshallah, so that your teenager knows that they can talk to you. Give them some privacy. Brothers and sisters, boundaries are important. In a family dynamics, the in-laws have their rights. The husband and wife has their rights. The children have their rights. Give each one their rights. And the husband and wife should understand together what are the boundaries between them and their in-laws? What are the boundaries between them and their relatives? What are the boundaries between them and their children? And even between the husband and wife, there are boundaries. There's a level of privacy. The husband does not own his wife and all her property. The wife does not own her husband and all his property and his time and his emotions and everything. You don't own your children and everything. Allah owns them. We are entrusted with them. We have authority over them. But they are a trust to bring them up in that healthy environment. So for example, some in-laws may have a cultural, ethnical sort of strictness that the daughter-in-law, for example, has to live with the in-laws upon marriage. There is a boundary. The privacy is gone. There could be territorial boundaries being broken. And what happens is we start to break the bridges between us. So there's nothing wrong with family sitting down and talking a little bit about boundaries in a loving, caring manner. And instead of having bridges broken between each other. So there are rights and there are boundaries, inshallah. And when you do have those boundaries, in the beginning there may be a little bit hardship in how you talk about them, but if you talk about them with love and care, and then you cover all the negatives with positives, inshallah ta'ala, people will start understanding, okay, these are rights in Islam, these are boundaries in Islam, and the respect starts to grow and the love starts to grow, rather than breaking bridges and big problems happening. Islam has drawn out the boundaries, alhamdulillah, but if we have mawadda, goodness with each other, love with each other, mercy with each other, things can be a lot better, insha'Allah ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, my time is up, but I just wanted to conclude with the following, and that is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has built our families as the most important unit in the world. If your family is intact and good, if you are intact and good as an individual, your family will also be intact and good. If your family is intact and good, then the community starts to get affected. If every family was like that, the community becomes better. If the community becomes better, other communities are affected, and then it affects the ummah. Would you believe that? It affects the ummah. So it starts with the individual, the family, the community, and this generation, our children. They are the next generation. They are so precious, but they require patience, mercy, assistance, giving and taking, flexibility, love, listening. And children need to honor their parents and understand the pain they are going through and to put themselves in their shoes. And finally, grandparents and relatives. They play a humongous role in our children's lives. My friend said to me the other day, I asked my 15-year-old daughter, how do you feel that your grandparents are still alive? She said, I feel like I belong in this world more strongly. I feel I'm part of a bigger community, a bigger fraternity. My identity is greater. And most importantly, look around you, brothers and sisters. This is our beautiful community. This is our beautiful identity. I want you young people to look and see. These are your brothers and sisters. And many of you, inshallah, will become leaders. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve you, and protect our Muslim ummah everywhere around the world. And may Allah protect and relieve the pain of all those who are struggling around the world, Muslim and non-Muslim, and guide them to that which pleases Him. Brothers and sisters, love your families, go and nurture it, and have a good time with them before the time runs out. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.